The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. In one age, called the Third Age by some, an age yet to come, an age long past, a married couple decided to start a podcast.
This is Shade of My Heart, a Wheel of Time podcast. I'm Josh, and this is my wife, Kat.
Hello, hello. We are very excited to dive into episode 3.
And this one is called What Might Be.
Yes.
Very good title for Nynaeve going into the Arches.
Absolutely.
That will test for the accepted, because she's kind of going in looking at what might be in her life, kind of the Elseworlds, almost, it's kind of overly trendy in my opinion a little bit, but the multiverse.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of dynamic there. But so Nynaeve's going to go through the arches, 3 arches. She's got to go through 3 times. She's going to be facing her fears. They stress on her that this is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
There is a decent chance that you will not come out.
That's happened before.
It happens from time to time. This is very dangerous. Nynaeve hasn't been at the tower very long. Usually a novice has been training for years at the tower before she goes through these arches. And so this is very dangerous. And she goes through the first time, and what does she see?
Yeah, she goes through and she's got no braid, which that was like, for me, I started thinking like, that's weird that she wouldn't have a braid, but then it ends up we're in her past. I thought that was very cool. This is very different from the book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she goes in through the arches in the books and she's tested, but the tests are nothing like this. I actually like these tests better.
I did too.
I think they're more personal.
Yes.
To her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
first one especially, I love that we got this little glimpse into her past. We heard something about it in the first season, that her parents and all this stuff, but like to get this really in-depth story of what happened. And again, we've got the Crimson Thorn that she's standing there holding it, and her dad's like, you know, where'd you find that? Red is dead, all that stuff. So that's a big, you know, key element to all of what's going on with Nynaeve.
Well, and it's really cool from the perspective of what they say, that you are washed clean of the sins you have done and the sins committed against you.
Yes.
That event of her parents being killed by those bandits was very traumatic for young Nynaeve. And so to face that again was really significant. And she had to choose to go through the arches to go back, rather than stay and try to fight for her parents.
Right, now that she has like this more knowledge and stuff, she could maybe help.
Yeah, so that was really neat.
And I loved when she came out that she had the wound, where that guy had like stabbed her.
Yes.
And it was actually bleeding, and she's like, you know, is it real? And they say sometimes people come out without a scratch, and they were, you know, really badly wounded, and sometimes they come out and they are bleeding. So they, even the Aes Sedai, really aren't exactly sure what's going on.
Yeah, that was really good. And then the second time she goes through, she's back in Emmon's Field.
Yeah.
And we have Tam, who's Rand's adopted father, and he's very sick. He's got these crazy, like...
Yeah, like the hives.
Welts. It's so gross, and he's dying. And so she asks... you know, who gave you this Crimson Thorn again? That's what he's been taking. He says, the wisdom. And who is it?
It's Matt's mom.
Matt's mom.
So, again...
Who was a drunk when we saw
Right. her. And then, again, comparing this book-wise, this one was a similar. The second arch was, like, a present-day timeline of what could possibly be happening in the Two Rivers.
Yeah, it was Emmon's Field, but it wasn't like this.
It wasn't like this. No. But it was a similar... Again, I really like what they did here. I like that there was this very personal thing with Tam, and this was a different kind of fear. This isn't terror. This is like Tam loves her.
He trusts her.
Yes.
This is her village. She loves them. She wants to help.
Yep.
And she can't.
Yep.
She has to make the choice. She's going to be at the tower. She's going to be an Aes Sedai. That means that she's not the wisdom of Emmon's Field.
Right.
And she's going to have to trust that they can make it without her.
Right. And then when she comes out asking them to take her to Emmons Field, and they're like, that's not what this is. You have to keep going. There's no turning back. You can't leave this room. So she says, okay, she's going to go on. And this was bonkers. Like, I was just sitting there going, what in the world is happening? I thought this was absolutely brilliant. I loved this weird, like, nightmare thing.
Oh, for the third time.
Yeah, the third time.
Yeah.
Sorry, yes. She decided she'd go back through. And it's like...
it's confusing.
Are you killing Lan? Like, what?
Because she comes out and she's covered in blood. Ugh. And she's holding his Hidori,
mm-hmm.
which is what the Malkyrie use to hold their hair back. It's a, like a headband. And she doesn't remember what happened. And
they're not...
they're not... they don't know.
They don't know.
They can't tell her.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that's so wildly different than what happens in the books.
Yes.
I was really loving that change. Completely unexpected.
Yeah.
Really weird. She had chosen red. She was in that red dress. So it was like, again, it was like a future glimpse. She's chosen this red dress. And I was thinking, are they completely dropping a whole storyline that's in the books? But then we see what really happens.
And so they offer her the ring, and she says, no, I don't want anything to do with it. She decides to leave. She has her goodbye with Egwene,
mm-hmm.
and she's leaving the tower, and she sees Lan, and she's like, oh, we could be together. She doesn't know what happens to Moiraine, and he doesn't say, but she's like, yeah, we can be together. And then behind her...
the way back comes but once.
Be steadfast.
So that... now we kind of get into more of what the book has with her in that third arch with Lan. And I loved it. It was so unexpected and really, really just, you could feel her like, I don't know, confusion, but also like,
this is what she's always wanted.
Yeah.
And it's a different, again, it's a different kind of testing.
Yeah.
It's, what do you really want? Do you want to be an Aes Sedai? Because it will mean sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
It means you don't get to have a quiet life with the man of your dreams raising a family.
Yeah.
Aes Sedai walk a different path.
Yeah.
And she needed to understand that. And she chose a life with Lan.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
And so after waiting... until they're sure that she's made her choice.
The Aes Sedai are like, well, guess she's dead now.
And there's very clear blame being laid on Leandrin by Shiryam and Lyanna.
Mm-hmm.
And Shiryam has this very...
Visceral
reaction of, I hope this weighs on your conscience forever, because it'll be on mine forever.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She's very angry.
Stupid Leandrin, she's trying to keep her little Aes Sedai calm. Like, well, I guess that's just the way it is. And then she throws that water jug as soon as she's by herself. But, because she's obviously really mad.
Yeah.
And then you, when Egwene comes to Nynaeve's room and Shiryam is there, Shiryam is so matter of fact. And like, oh, I didn't want you to find out like this, but she's dead. Like, what?
Well, yeah, and it's really interesting to see how, like, calm she is about it.
Right.
But when you consider she's the mistress of novices, she's old, so she's seen this happen many times.
And she's seen that people do eventually, you know, come out of their pain. It will pass. Your grief is your own.
Yeah.
It'll pass. But when you're in it, that is not what you want to hear.
Well, I think it's a really good example of Aes Sedai calm as inappropriate. Because Aes Sedai are always calm, and they say these cliche things.
Right. It's not helpful.
And it's not helpful to somebody that's really going through something to just get the Aes Sedai cliche sayings.
They're not a very comforting lot.
They're not. They don't empathize well.
No.
And everything they say is calculated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, very calculated. And poor Egwene, her friends are just dying off one by one.
Yeah, and so now she feels very alone, but we see her friendship with Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
Elaine wants to be there for her. Egwene is
not in the mood.
Not in the mood. She says, "I don't know you. Leave me alone."
Yeah, because she's lost Rand. She thinks Rand is dead. Yeah. She thinks Nynaeve's dead. She doesn't really know where Perrin is. Matt is who knows where.
Yeah.
Now so we know.
Poor Egwene is just very alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we'll flip over to Matt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quickly here.
So we know where Matt is. Of course, Leandrin, this has given her this. She's over it with Matt. She's because she has that whole like, somebody died today, and it's because I wasn't there to help her. I was wasting time with you.
Which, what a nice lady.
She's
it is
the worst.
To try to lay blame on Matt for Nynaeve failing the test.
Yeah.
Like, what? Come on. Get out of here.
It's ridiculous.
That is not on him.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So then, of course, there's that whole thing with Leandrin and Egwene, which shows Egwene's, like, showing off that she's really powerful. Although, like, Egwene, honey, Leandrin has been an Aes Sedai for how long?
Yeah. But you see her spirit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Her grief, but also her rage.
Yeah.
But we also see Leandrin is, like, telling Matt she's done with him and yeah. he can leave.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So Leandrin tells him that Egwene's in the tower.
Yeah.
And so he goes and he does actually find her.
I know.
Egwene's really upset. Now, Matt doesn't know that Nynaeve...
What's going on. That's true.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know why she's sad.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
And
this... sorry, just to go back to... None of this stuff with Matt happens in the books. He is not in the tower during all of this stuff.
No.
So it's very new to us.
Yeah.
As readers, but I'm fine with this. This is really interesting. We're giving some of Matt's character. I know I was really sad that he didn't reach out to her, but I was glad that he went back and got Min, because I was sitting there going like, you're leaving and you're not even going to tell Min mm-hmm. who you just became friends with? Like, what the heck?
You know, I've been thinking about why did Matt not go to Egwene?
Yeah.
And I think at least in part, Matt is not empathetic.
Mm.
He doesn't know what to do with a crying woman.
Okay.
So I'm gonna kind of give him a little bit of a bro pass.
Okay.
To be like, I see she's going through something. I don't know what's going on. I don't think I can do this.
Right.
He's got his own stuff. He's been held prisoner.
That's true.
For months.
That's true.
He's not ready to step into whatever is going on with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he goes and he gets Min, and Min is not crying, so he's able to talk to her. And Min is not at all conflicted about what to do. She says, we leave. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And Matt goes with her. Now, to just stay with them for just a second.
Yeah.
They get their stuff together. They steal some horses, steal some food.
Yeah.
They're going to make their way out of town.
They make such a good pair. I love it.
And then we find out that Min is actually in cahoots with Leandrin.
Right.
And Leandrin's got leverage on her.
Something.
Min is not a willing participant. They're not friends.
Right.
She's
obviously uncomfortable.
Yes.
Like, Leandrin goes to, like, sort of touch her, and she, like, backs away. And obviously uncomfortable. But Leandrin says something about, you know, do this, and Moraine will have nothing on us, either of us. So I'm sitting here like, is she going to go kill Moraine? Like, is Min off to murder Moraine? Because that's not going to go well.
No.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Leandrin really plays head games with everyone.
Oh, gosh.
She's so nasty.
Yep. Yep.
She's like the epitome of a manipulative, emotionally distant and abusive person. It's really, really nasty. I would almost rather somebody physically beat me up than be like Leandrin. Yeah. And just, like, psychologically break what she did to Matt.
Oh, gosh.
Saying that he's, like, worthless and coward. And, oh, my, man, you are so mean.
Yeah. Yeah, she is the actual worst.
She is. She's terrible. She's that actress is doing a wonderful job of being someone you love to hate.
Yeah. Yes, she's doing a fantastic job. She's very good. Very good. Well, so let's go ahead and kind of stay in the White Tower.
Yes. Okay, so Egwene's really upset and she goes down to the arches and she's gonna try to single-handedly try to rescue Nynaeve by activating the arches. Now, she doesn't know how to
She
do
doesn't know what
this.
she's
She
doing.
does not know. And instead of being caught by Shiryam or some other Aes
Thank
Sedai,
goodness.
Elaine comes looking for her because she's worried about her.
Yeah.
And Elaine is a little Miss Smarty Pants.
She's so smart.
And
Smarty pants.
she knows the tower more than Egwene does. And so she knows what
It's
you're
not how it
trying
works,
is
yeah.
not going to work.
And she even tells her you could hurt yourself. You could kill yourself trying too hard. And we read that in the book, that books
Yeah.
that people can burn out when they try to hold too much of the one power.
Yeah, or mess with Trongriel that they don't
Oh, that's true,
understand.
yeah.
And but she says, you know, this isn't gonna work what you're doing, but I'll get some blankets and I'll stay with
Yeah,
you
very sweet.
and we'll just sleep
Yeah.
in this room.
Yeah, and then we get our glimpse into what's going on with Nynaeve. She's living her best life.
She's got a kid. She's
Yep.
got a daughter that she named after her
After
mother,
her mother.
Elnora, which is, I like that detail, you
Yeah, it's
know.
really sweet.
And Dream, Matt and Perrin are both there.
Yes, and Matt's like a lord, and
Yep.
Perrin's back to his blacksmith. It's her best life.
Yep.
Lan's got his hair down, looking all
Yep. He's doing the
chill.
dishes.
Yeah, everything's great until she gets this letter from Matt that says Egwene, who in her this weird future reality is a green sister,
Yep.
battle Aja.
And she's gonna go f to Saldaea to fight Trollocs that have invaded.
Right.
And Lan is kind of dismissive, like, well, you know, that's nothing new.
Yeah.
The Trollocs invade the Borderlands.
Right.
And then.
You have this. So, yeah, then the Trollocs come and attack. And I thought it was so sweet how they had this, the same thing that happened to Nynaeve
Yeah.
of her dad putting her in the cellar. She takes Elnor down and puts her in the
Yeah.
cellar and be my brave girl and, does that whole thing. And so I really thought that was a cool directorial choice
Yeah.
and very sad and sweet.
And these Trollocs
They're
end
no
up,
joke.
they're no joke. They the Emmons Field crew end up killing some of the Trollocs, but Matt, Perrin, Lan
All dead.
all fall to the Trollocs.
Yep.
And then Nynaeve, out of rage and frustration and grief, has a big explosion of the power.
And you can't channel in the arches. They told her that. You won't
Supposedly,
be able
you
to touch
cannot
the one
channel.
power. But
Yeah.
she's also the most powerful channeler they've seen in 1,000 years.
She doesn't channel like they do.
And she doesn't channel like
She
they do.
can't channel like they do. They're all very calm when they
Yeah.
seize the source,
That's a good point.
but she channels in her rage and in her fear. So she's not trying to reactivate the arches,
But
but
apparently it
that's what
does.
ends up happening. And so she tries to take her daughter
Oh my
with her.
goodness. This absolutely wrecked me.
So you see her
Absolutely wrecked
running
me.
towards the arches, and she's holding her daughter, and she comes through the arches, and
And
she's
she's
got empty
gone.
arms.
Oh
She's
my
still got her hands in the
goodness.
same position,
I
which I really
know. I
liked.
did
I
too.
really like that a lot. And she's covered in blood,
Oh my
Lan's
goodness.
blood.
Yep.
And so this poor woman is just wrecked,
Yeah.
absolutely wrecked, because she got to live her
Oh
best
gosh.
life
Yeah.
and then had it ripped away painfully.
Yep. I had actual real tears. Zoe, you deserve an Emmy. If you're listening to our podcast, it was phenomenal.
I even
Oh
love the
my
way that she's
goodness.
like hyperventilating when
Yes.
she comes out.
It was so good. And again, like I'm a mom of a little girl. Like it just wrecked me. I cannot imagine that pain. The pain of that, like, I've had you and now you're gone. And she has those memories of things that weren't really real, but
Yeah.
really felt real. And is it real? Like they don't even know.
Yeah, that'll mess you up. All that experience, and it's just a vision of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then she comes out And Egwene and Elaine there. Are sleeping
so
there
sweet.
In the world's most uncomfortable position. They're like awkwardly leaning against this stone pillar.
Yeah.
And I'm just like this. I was just like, that is impossible. You're not sleeping in that position, leaning against a stone pillar. That
she brought blankets.
So uncomfortable.
Like, why aren't you laying on the blankets?
Yeah.
That's so true.
But I guess maybe it was a directorial choice.
Oh, yeah.
So that you could see them better.
Yes, for sure.
And then, you know, they're there to comfort Nynaeve.
Yes.
In her pain.
Yeah, so it'll be good to know.
All that was so powerful. The emotions of Nynaeve, but also of Egwene.
Yeah.
And I love what we got to see of Elaine, too.
Showing her compassion.
She's very compassionate. She's very smart. She mm-hmm. knows things.
Yep.
That was really, really great work with them. And really great work from Leandrin and Shiriam as well. Mm-hmm. Kind of seeing what makes Aes Sedai tick.
Yeah.
And that they're kind of cold, mean group.
They're flawed.
Yeah.
I think that's what's important. And you know, we in the world building that we've had so far, they're in charge.
Yeah.
And they call the shots. They do everything. I am wondering where the Amyrlin is. Because that's weird. The Amyrlin doesn't usually leave the tower. And in the very first episode, in the first episode, remember of this season, Egwene was like cleaning her room.
Mm-hmm.
And Nynaeve said to her, like, is she back yet? So I've been just wondering where she is.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know.
Okay. So, agreed. We got a lot of really good stuff there. Oh, yeah. Just to say that they're flawed. Because we really have only seen them being so in charge or whatever.
So now let's switch gears.
Yeah, switch gears.
Over to Perrin and Loial.
And other Shinarns. Women who can channel.
Yes. So
different set of women.
Yes. These are Shan Chan channelers. They are not Aes Sedai.
Yeah.
Aes Sedai is one group of channelers, but there are other groups of channelers.
But that's another flaw. The Aes Sedai don't even really know.
No.
They try to find all the women that can channel that they can and bring them to the White Tower.
Yep.
So here
Meanwhile,
we have.
It's a big world out there.
Yes. And the Shan Chan are also trying to find women.
And they are a lot more proactive. The Sedai tend to have the girls come to the tower to seek it out. But the Shan Chan are actively recruiting, you could say.
And recruiting. So
they have their Damani go through a village and they can feel a woman who can channel. And so they find them.
Yep.
Whether the woman knows that she can or not, the
Damani
knows.
That girl that does the
Golden Pacifier.
The Golden Pacifier girl. She's so creepy.
Yeah. I like her hair. I was looking
I
at her.
Too.
I was looking at it during the episode and like, wow.
It's really cool. And she is so creepy. The red makeup around her eyes and stuff. It's just really good.
It gives her like a really unhealthy look. She looks like ill.
Mm-hmm.
The way that like the makeup, like it's like white in the middle and kind of red around the edge. Mm-hmm. It looks just like something's wrong with you.
Yeah, totally.
But you get a glimpse of the Shan Chan don't mess around.
Yeah.
The Shan Chan are not here to play. They are not here to be your friend. Right. They are here to rule. They are here to get your allegiance willingly or unwillingly.
Yeah. It goes back to what you were saying in the previous episode that they aren't trying to kill you.
Right.
That's not the goal.
Yep.
However, as we see with poor sweet Uno.
They will kill you.
They will.
They do not mind killing
especially
you.
If it gives an example to everyone else.
Yep.
As to why you should listen.
I loved Alwyn, who's the Suras voice. She's the one that's talking to everyone. Mm-hmm. Telling them about these were the lands and we're here to claim them. Arthur Pendrag was the High King in these lands. And some of his descendants went over the Aerith Ocean. We conquered, and now we're back to claim what's ours.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to swear the oath to...
to obey, to await, and to serve.
Boom, boom. The soldiers, like, yell it out.
Yeah.
Bang their spears. And now the people don't know what those oaths even mean.
No.
But those are very meaningful oaths to Shan Chan.
Mm-hmm.
And so they pick Uno out. Uno is a very hard man, not one that likes to bend. So he tries to fight back, and he has this great display of, swear the oath, and he just spits. And so then he is made to kneel.
I literally couldn't watch it. I literally had my hand up in front of my face, like blocking
Yeah.
the TV. I couldn't watch.
There's this big spike
Ugh.
on the front of the platform where Surath is sitting.
Yeah, oh, I could see the spike. I knew what was happening.
Yeah.
I just wasn't gonna watch.
I knew that they were gonna kill him. I didn't expect them to ram his head
Ugh.
down on
Ugh.
that thing.
Gross.
And it does the trick, doesn't it?
Yeah, and so Uno's for real dead, and that doesn't
That's a
happen in
big
the book
change.
because he's alive like forever in the books.
Yeah.
And of course I did think he was dead at the end of season one.
Yep.
So now I think he really
I think
is.
he's
It
big dead.
sure looks
He's
like it.
dead dead.
It
He's got a
sure
big
looks
old
like
spike
it.
through his head.
Oh gosh. So nasty.
And Perrin very nearly gets the same
I
because he
know.
does not want
Perrin.
to kneel and swear. But
Yep.
Ingtar had the equation right. Our pride is not worth our lives.
Yep.
There's no good that can come from saying, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Well,
You
you're going
just
to die.
look what just happened to Uno. Just do it.
Just do it.
Let's
Let's
see what happens.
live to fight another day.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. I don't know what I would do in that situation. Like,
Yeah.
it really would depend on the situation. Am I just saying that I'm gonna serve the local authority? Okay, I'll follow the law. But if it's like something with my religion, I think I would just go ahead and take the spike through the head.
Yeah, I would need clarification on
Yeah,
that too.
I need more information.
Yeah.
What exactly am I swearing to?
Yeah. What does this oath entail exactly? Be
If you
specific.
just mean you might change some of the laws, okay,
I
that
can live with that.
probably is going to be fine.
Yeah, it's probably fine.
Yeah. Now, Perrin is kneeling, but he looks up.
And Ashamael is watching him.
Yeah.
Ashamael knows exactly who Perrin is.
Yep. Which we see the next time we see Perrin waking up in that caravan.
Yes, so he's in a prisoner caravan and he's all chained up, and Ashamael is watching him sleep like a creep.
So weird.
He's just like waiting for him to wake up. So
What
creepy.
are you
So
doing?
Ashamael, they have this little conversation, and Ashamael says to him, the more you become a wolf, the more mine you are.
Yeah.
I think he
Oh
is trying to trick Perrin
my goodness.
that he doesn't want him to give in to the wolf because being a wolf is actually dangerous
That makes so
to
much more
Ashamael.
sense.
And so he's like trying to play some reverse
Yep,
psychology.
because I actually wrote in my notes, this is so interesting that Ishmael is saying that if he turns into a wolf, he belongs to him, because like that is not what we see, but I bet you're right.
Yeah.
He's trying to get him. So now we're going to see Perrin thinking that Elias and the wolves are servants of the Dark One, which is like obviously Elias is not.
No. So Elias ends up rescuing him with the pack. He's got a whole pack of wolves that attack the prisoner caravan,
Oh,
and they get him free. And when Elias busts in the door,
yes, so
he's
nasty.
got blood all over his
All over his
chin.
chin and face. And then you open the door, and there's that guard whose throat has been ripped out.
Clearly with Elias's teeth.
Nasty.
Now, it's a great effect. If you're gonna kill someone, there are much better ways than
Not if
biting
you're
their
a
throat.
wolf. If you're a
Elias
wolf,
has
that's
these
the best
hands, though.
way. Yeah.
Anyway, so that was great
It was great.
to see that
It was
Perrin is
also
finally with his
interesting.
mentor.
Yes. It was also interesting just as Perrin was getting more and more scared, the wolves were getting closer and closer. So it was sort of like, it sort of felt like he was like calling them, you know?
Yeah.
I do need to make a quick mention here. The thing that is killing me with the Shamael is how like the shirt thing that they have him in, it looks like he's wearing like a shirt, like a business suit. You know,
Oh,
the way they have it.
I love it actually,
I do
because
too.
it's not from this time.
Yes, that's what I was going to
It does
say.
not belong.
It doesn't belong at all. It's not a business suit. It's
Yeah.
not a tie,
No.
but it looks
It's kind of
so
like that. Yeah.
like we were saying before, like so other.
Yeah.
He's very
Yes,
distinct.
I love
So I
that.
did want to give that shout out
Thank
of
you. Yeah.
the costuming. Those little details, you guys, they really,
Yeah, they're
everything
crushing it.
means something.
Yeah, they're crushing
Everything.
it.
I think
Yeah.
so too. Okay, so I think that brings us to the Rand situation.
Yes. Yes, it does. Okay, so Rand we saw is now the caregiver for Loghain Ablar. And Loghain sees right through. He knows who Rand is. He recognizes him from when he saw him. And I'm going to try to say this like they say it in the show, Tar Valon. Now, I know that I am not going to be consistent with that because I've spent the last 15 years
18
saying it Tar Valon, but I'm going to try to say it like the show says it so that
Okay, good luck.
I can be consistent. Tar Valon.
Tarvalon.
Loghain was chained and being paraded through the street, and he saw Rand
And Matt.
and Matt, but he doesn't care about Matt. He was just looking at Rand.
And I will say, when they showed it to us in season one, they sort of made it look like the cinematography made it look like he was looking at Matt and laughing. And Matt was definitely feeling like Loghain was staring at him.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a change. In the books, Loghain has a talent for seeing Tavirin. And so he does see Rand as he's being paraded, but it's actually through Camelot. He sees him from a distance and he just laughs his head off because he knows that whoever that is over there is gonna rock this world in a way that I never did.
Which, okay, so that reminded me. So Tavirin, again, we talked about this in one of our pre-TV show episodes. This is one of the first episodes we talked about what Tavirin is. But what that means is that the pattern kind of forms itself around you,
Right.
and your choices can change the pattern, which I'm not sure if they're even talking about Tavirin in the show at all, but it made me
They
think
did the first season.
they did talk about Tavirin.
Yeah, they said that the Egwene and Nynaeve were Tavirin as well.
Okay, so the reason that I'm saying it is we have Rand finding Loghain in Kyrian and being able to work his way in, and I thought it's probably because he's Tavirin.
Sure.
That's how he was able to find the place and even get with the crazy guy that taught him the sword and
Yeah.
be able to take over for Yon.
Yeah.
So I
Yeah.
thought that was interesting.
Tavirin is like super lucky.
Yeah, it's like super lucky
Yeah.
or super unlucky.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought that was
So
interesting.
that's how it is in the books, that Loghain can see that. But in the show, he says that men that can channel can see other men that can channel, which in the books they say no.
That's not a thing,
In fact, men can't even tell if another man can channel unless they see him channel or they feel him holding the power. Women that can channel can feel the ability in
Yeah, they can
others,
tell.
but men don't have that. I'm okay. It's
Oh,
not
yeah, it's
not
fine.
like a big thing, and it's actually, I think it'll make certain other things that'll come later a little easier if men that can channel can see other men that can channel.
I love Loghain in this episode where he's crazy, but he's also like a freaking boss. He is such a king.
Yeah.
You know, like, get me a guildhall in red and we'll talk. Like, what? Who are you making these demands?
Yep.
I loved it. I loved it.
Yep. And so Rand, he doesn't really know wine. He doesn't really know where to get it. And so he tries to go back to the Foregate and find some. And when they're in the Foregate, we have a gleeman telling the Great Hunt for the Horn story, which I love.
I did
And
too.
so it's our introduction to what is this Great Hunt for the Horn? Well, it's this big thing, and the leaders of Ilion call the Great Hunt for the Horn, and all these people want to find it to find their way into the stories. And the Queen of Cairhien has promised a big reward to anyone who finds it and brings it back to Cairhien. So it's this big thing, and everyone's all excited about it. And Selene sees Rand looking for wine. She's like, "What are you looking for?" He says, "Gildan in red." She says, "You're not going to find it here."
But she knows where to find it.
But you're going to need better clothes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I like that we're getting a glimpse into Celine's character here, that she has connections, that she is... her station that she's showing us is really lower than what she's capable of. We're getting a little bit of what she can do.
Yeah.
Going to this, taking him to this party and giving him this amazing coat.
Yeah.
Gorgeous coat.
So they're in this party that they do not belong in.
Uh-huh.
This is a noble's party.
And it really shows the wealth of Kyrian and just how, like, super sickly rich they are. And...
yeah. So in the books, when Rand gets to Kyrian, he plays the part of a noble. And he ends up getting these invitations from different noble houses. Mm-hmm. And he says he doesn't want to play, so he just keeps burning the invitations. And it ends up making them even more interested.
Yep.
And so we have a little bit of a kind of a play on that here, mm-hmm. where he gets an invitation from this one lady, and he just throws it in the fire, and he's mm-hmm. like, no. And so then Lady Anvir...
right, new character.
Not
somebody from the books.
No, we're just meeting her.
Mm-hmm.
Says, oh, now they're really going to be interested.
Yeah, I liked that a lot because it did... I mean, that was a whole chapters and chapters about these things, but we were able to do that in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
And then Anvir also gives him a little glimpse into what the Game of Houses is.
Yes, this is our first glimpse of the Game of Houses, where this is like reading meaning into every word, every subtle move, every move of the eyebrow. They're always looking for advantage, and they Kyrian is famous for the Game of Houses.
Yeah. So I liked this political insight.
Yes, so we get a little glimpse of that, and Anvir tells Rand that there is no prize for the Great Hunt for the Horn. It's all a trick to basically clear the Foregate.
Mm-hmm.
Rand doesn't like that at all, and he gets so upset about it that he wants to leave.
And Celine obviously knows about it already, so that kind of hurts him.
And Celine does not want him to leave, and she does not appreciate him walking out.
Right.
And gives him a hard time about that.
But he goes back to Loghain, and we really get to see this...
with his wine.
With the wine, and we see more of this insanity with Loghain. He truly believes he's Luthien.
Yeah.
And he's showing his, like, power that he has, even though he doesn't have the one power anymore. He still has, he's very controlling presence. But then you see Rand's crazy come out.
Yeah, and he's like, you will not bully me.
Yeah.
Like, that's Rand's big thing. He does not like to be pushed.
Yep.
And so if you try to bully him, he will push back.
Yep.
So, and I actually really like that about Rand. So Loghain says something to him that I really like, where he gives him the wine. And he's like, ask. And Rand's like, how do I stop channeling?
Yeah.
And Loghain says, you can't.
You can't. Yeah.
You can't stop. Sooner or later, it's going to come out.
Yeah.
And so he uses the wine as like an example of like, you can't contain it.
It just goes, yep.
And, you know, this Gildan in red that he wanted so much, he doesn't even drink any. He just pours it out and then he throws it across.
Oh, my goodness. That's what I'm saying. He's crazy.
Yeah, he's crazy.
But also, like, what a power play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he thinks he's the one.
Yeah.
He still thinks he's the dragon.
Yep. And he thinks, you know, I've got to face the Dark One and now I can't even channel these crazy Aes Sedai.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So... okay, so this next little part here, and we can probably, I think we're getting kind of close to the end here, but Rand goes back, and we get this thing where Celine's kind of crazy, and she pushes him up against the door, and so they're both really into this kind of crazy sex thing, and some role-playing, like, leave the coat on, blah, 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 but then, like, who's channeling? Is he channeling? Is she channeling? Like, what's going on? But then I think it was just a dream. Because then he sort of, like, wakes up and he's channeling and the house is on fire. I think it was a dream.
I don't know. I thought it was real.
I don't know. But that's what I'm saying.
In any case, he channels and accidentally burns the house down.
Right. Right. But I don't know. It was a very strange thing. Interesting place to leave off.
Yeah, so Rand has got to learn to control
Sidene. Yeah, he's going to burn houses down.
Yeah, it's not good. This is a great episode. Loved the testing of Nynaeve. Mm-hmm. Loved the stuff with Ashan Chan just being absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
Loved the stuff with Elias.
Story is getting so thick.
Yeah.
Really, really a lot of good stuff going on.
It's kind of hard to keep track of all the different
storylines. Yeah.
So, you know, we're trying to sort of follow one storyline throughout. And so
yeah, hopefully that's getting easier all over for the you place. Guys. Because we were sort of going in the order of the episode, but
that was getting a little bit too confusing.
Even for us.
Yeah. So, hopefully that this was a good recap for you. We love the show, and I hope that that's contagious for anyone that listens to this.
So until next time, may you always find water and shade.